Blog Talk Radio.
True Talk Radio, episode 138, coming back 1 week after the world's coming to an end. All bullshit aside, it's 2020, and we're coming strong, man, like we're trying to come strong this year. All boxing, all the time, y'all already know the drill. And this weekend, it's no different. At last week's show was the first of the year. We talked about the weekend was going to be the kickoff to a busy, you know, few months going on down the line. And we're going to dive right into it, man. Got some news to cover. You had the Wilder Fury 2 press conference. Tickets for Vargas Garcia are on sale now. That's going to be happening in my backyard. $25 should get you in the building. You can get your tickets at SeatGeek. That's going down at the store. But here we go, man. True Talk Radio, episode 138. True Boxing Heads, y'all already know the deal. Solo Dolo Show, rocking how we do. Hey, the big one, man, from this past weekend was Clarissa Shields making history. Obviously, she was a champion at 168 pounds coming from her two Olympic medals. Then she went down to 160 and unified. And then she went ahead and moved down to 154 and, you know, was trying to be the quickest to, you know, win three different titles. And she did it in 10 fights, and she beat Ivana Habazine at the 154 pounds. She got the unanimous decision win. Crazy to think, man, that in her 10th fight, she scored her first knockdown. Not sure if that's a reflection of lack of power or her competition. You know, she's making that run for Guo, saying she's the greatest woman of all time. But she gets the win, more importantly. She makes her mark on history of boxing, you know, beat Lomachenko. You know, there's people going back and forth saying, you know, there's no way that's as close to what Lomachenko has accomplished. I mean, in her own right, it is. You know, she made her history. She won, you know, she unifies the titles at 154, you know, as a champion at 160, and now, you know, 168. You know, good for her. You know, I've been saying, and I'll say it right now, big fish, small pond. You know, the competition is not deep. Again, there's no Ann Wolf. There's no Leila Ali. There's nothing out there to rival her. You know, this past weekend you had Alejandra Jimenez. I'm going to talk about her in a little bit. She got the win. She called out Shields. That's actually a fight I wouldn't mind watching. But like I said, I'll talk about that. Big one, Ivana Habazine, man, she was just outmatched. All three judges had it for Shields. Scorecards 100 to 90, 189 two times. And again, scores her first knockdown in her 10th fight. Said she was going to Wilder her. Didn't get no Wilder, but we got what she got, you know, with Shields. She boxed, she won. To me, the star of the night and the guy to watch out for is Jerron Boots Ennis. I was talking to the homies about him, man. He's been on the radar for a minute coming out of Philly. He improves to 25-0, 22 KOs, only 22 years old, man. Beat Bakatiev Oyubov, dominated him from start to finish. Kid is slick, man. Kid is legit. I told some of the homies and I told a couple of my partners, you know, there's right now, if he was to jump into the waters, there's a couple of people that I could see him having trouble with, and obviously that's cream of the crop, Terrence Crawford, Bud, you know, WBO champ, and Errol, the Truth, Spence Crawford, you know, IBF and WBC champ. Obviously he has to get better and get cleared, but those are the only two. I mean, shit, you put him up against Danny Garcia in an all-Philly showdown, shit, I'm going to go with Jerron Boots Ennis, man. He's that good. I like him over Porter. I like him over a lot of guys in that division. And, again, he was the big winner for me. The surprise of the night was Ellen Cerrados. She unified the 168-pound division with the unanimous decision win over Alicia Napoleon Espinoza. Espinoza got dropped in the second round. Very close fight. Talking about a rematch. So close. 95-94 three times for Alain Sedores, who unifies the 168-pound division. And right there, you got another possible fight for Clarissa Shields, who's kind of pulling the Canelo in the women's division, you know, going up and down in weight class. And with not that kind of competition and not, you know, she has to chase history. There's no rules out there. There's no big money fights for her to chase. At this point, she's got to chase the title. She's got to do what's best for her, and that's what she's doing. So Showtime kicked off the year with a big one, and they got another show coming up this weekend. Showbox. I'll be talking about that here in the next few minutes. You know, quick show, quick solo dolo, True Talk Radio, episode 138. Y'all already know the deal. Looking to have our first live podcast from Acapulco here in the next week or two. Shout out to Joe Rome. Shout out to Miss Stacy, who was out there with us in San Antonio representing. That's a two right there. And I'm going to dive right into that San Antonio show, man, because there's a lot to talk about on that card. The big one, Jaime Munguia, Sweet Baby Jesus. Not so much Sweet Baby Jesus these days. Regular old Jaime Munguia from Tijuana, Mexico. He did get the 11th round TKO over Gary Spike O'Sullivan, who showed that he is a fucking warrior. He's a real one. You know, obviously, that fight against David Lemieux kind of, you know, watered him down a little bit in the sense that, oh, man, he ain't got no chin, he ain't got knocked the fuck out. But shit, he showed that he's a real one against Jaime Munguia, who was moving up from 154. Spike O'Sullivan rocked Jaime Munguia in the third round at the end. I even texted a couple of the homies in the group chat, and they're like, shit, we seen that too. I was genuinely concerned because in that fourth round, it's almost like Jaime Munguia took a break, or it's like, hey, man, he was buzzed a little bit. I think even the homie Steve Kim tweeted out a little something about that. But I was a little concerned. I'm like, shit, what's going on here? Because, you know, Team O'Sullivan, they were feeling themselves. I was right behind them in the corner, and every time they caught Munguia, they were like, yeah, do it again. Get him, rock him, he's there. And there was a few points of the fight that they were yelling at him, no defense, he's got no defense. And just that back and forth flow, I was like, oh, shit. Maybe this wasn't the easy test that they thought. But that's where matchmaking comes into play, and that's why they get paid the big bucks, you know. Nobody wants to see Jaime Munguia get knocked out or beat the fuck up in his middleweight debut. But it was a successful one nonetheless, you know, despite getting rocked, despite getting touched a few times. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. You know, shit, he's a youngster, only 23 years old, man. I think, you know, we lose sight of that. I was listening to the homeboy Boxing Guru's podcast, and he said something which was true. You know, it's crazy because boxing fans can't seem to enjoy the little things. You know, I think he was comparing Jaime Munguia to Brandon Rios. I wouldn't go there, you know, because I think he's got a little bit more you know, reach, you know, he's got a higher ceiling than Sergio Rios did because, you know, he was a champ at 154, and I see him doing some damage at 160, you know, but obviously you got to move him right. No way do you throw him in there against the big guns, who he called out after the fight. He said he wanted Triple G, he wanted Canelo, he wanted Charlo. All three would murder him at this point. You know, at this point, you take the slow approach, nice and slow approach. You know, you let it build. You let him work. I'm not sure if Eric Morales is the best fit, you know, but at this point, you got to stick to it. You know, you can't keep changing trainers. You know, that's not a good approach either. You know, but he did what he had to do. He got the win. He didn't sell as much as I thought he was going to do. If y'all listened to last week's show, I talked about, you know, San Antonio being the gauge for superstardom. You know, Canelo, 50,000. Chavez versus Whitaker, you know, 60,000. Oscar De La Hoya, 30,000. You know, big numbers. I want to say for this fight, there was probably, I'm going to take a guess, they didn't release the official numbers. I'm going to say between 5,000 and 6,000 people, if that. And that's if that. Because the Alamo Dome, which is huge, was way scaled down. It was only a portion of it. You know, there was a few seats, but there was a lot of empty seats. They didn't have the upper levels filled. It was all lower level and all kind of ringside. It was kind of just a cluster how they had it set up. But, you know, it was more about the showcase on the undercard fighters and a showcase for Jaime Munguia, you know, trying to build the name, trying to build the brand. But definitely wasn't no Canelo fan base, you know, but that's why Canelo is a superstar and one of few, right? There's not too many of him. Nonetheless, Jaime Munguia proves 35-0, gets his 28th KO, outlanded, out through O'Sullivan. I think 792 thrown, punches thrown, 292 landed at 37% for Munguia. O'Sullivan, 596 thrown, 122 landed at 21%. Power shots, Munguia had the edge on that, 51%. As opposed to 24% from O'Sullivan. He was down big on the scorecards, so I think it was the right call from his corner to stop the fight. They waved it off. called the fight, said no mas, threw in the towel. After the fight, I talked to O'Sullivan. I took a picture. I posted that on Two Boxing Heads Instagram. He said, man, I'm chilling. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm going to enjoy this cookie and relax tonight. I think he had a couple of beers and all the less, man. He was good, man. You know, they were complaining about the low blows a little bit. I think a couple of them were low. I think the ref almost blew it. I forget his name. What was his name? Mark Calcoli. Almost blew it, man. But thankfully, Munguia didn't leave it to the judge's hands and did what he had to do and ended up getting the win. And we'll see what's next for Jaime Munguia. I see him staying busy. I see him coming back sometime in May. I think that was the talk from some of the Golden Boy people. They want to see him back again in May, possibly on the Canelo undercard to try to make that fight happen in the future. But definitely no time soon. In the co-main event, it was kind of some drama, man. You had Alejandra Jimenez get the split decision win over Francho Cruz Dezron. Split decision win, 98-92, 97-93 for Jimenez, and 97-93 for Cruz Dezron. I actually had it for the champ, man, WBC, WBO champ. A lot of people had it for Alejandra Jimenez. That shit had me kind of iffy, man. I'm still having conversations with some of my friends and some of the people in boxing. You know, the word ringside was that she's in transition. There was Vada testing. I know Cruz Dezron did post a few things on her Instagram that she later retracted and pulled. You know, she was saying there was a lot of fishy things going on. She got clowned on for her weed falling off. But at the end of the day, man, she put it all on the line, man. She fought her heart out. It was an entertaining female fight, man. It was a hell of a scrap. My only issue or concern with the fight is if, in fact, Alejandra Jimenez is in transition, like they were saying ringside, is how is that fair and where does it end? You know, where does it stop? You know, what if she goes all the way to the transition? Is that still okay? Is she still going to be fighting women or is she going to start fighting men? You know, that was the cloud above the whole fight, man, especially when I heard her voice after the fight. I was like, what the fuck? She had that Barry White, man. She had a deeper deeper voice than the homie that was translating the fight, you know? That's how bad it was. That was my only issue, you know. I did talk to some of my homies, too. Hey, you know, we got to look up some facts on that, which we're working on, you know. But let's watch one thing right now. She is a woman. She had a kid. But the fact is, she is in transition. So what is she on? Is she on some hormones? What do they take? I'm not the expert on that. So for that reason, I left it alone, and I didn't post shit about that on anything. On no Instagram, no Twitter, no Facebook, no nothing. All I posted was that it was a good fight because that's what it was. The decision, I really didn't care for it. But shit, I'm not a judge, you know. I hope they run it back. And we'll see what happens, man. I did reach out to the TDR, Texas Department of License and Registration, the commission. But, you know, Texas is not the best at that. Vada was tested. No official word on meds and all that stuff. So, again, I'm going to leave that alone. Big winners from that night, man, with the little trues, a couple of Texas trues. Hector Tanahara, Finito. He got the unanimous decision win on the former world title challenger, Juan Carlos Burgos from Tijuana. Hector Tanahara did good, man. You know, he's developing into a good pro. Obviously, he doesn't have that power. He's not knocking people out, not putting them to sleep. But, you know, he's a slick boxer, you know, and he fought a good fighter. You know, I said it last week going into the fight on paper was the toughest fight to date. And to me, he passed it. He passed it with flying colors. Would have been nice if he could have got a finish or a knockdown or something. But he did show that machismo. Like, come on, let's get it. Let's fight. But obviously you got to stay smart with a veteran like Juan Carlos Burgos, who's lost against, you know, Mikey Garcia and Devin Haney. And, you know, he's a real dude. He's been in there, spot for the titles. I definitely thought he beat Rocky Roman Martinez, should have been a WBO champion, but was given the draw. But nonetheless, congrats to Team Tanahara. Shout out to Finito. Shout out to Senior. Shout out to San Antonio. Shout out to all them out there who always show love to me and the team. I appreciate y'all. And y'all already know what it is. Speaking of love, much love to Joshua Franco, the professor, who made a huge statement. He made a statement, for sure. Got the 9th round TKO for Jose Burgos, who was just a tough son of a gun, man. Would not go down, would not stop, kept coming, kept fighting. Early on in the fight, in the first couple rounds, I was like, oh, shit, maybe this was not the best matchup. There was a few people ringside. I heard them. They're like, "Oh, this was not a good matchup. This is bad matchmaking. Oh, they're gonna get him beat." A couple people were texting me like, "Oh, man, Professor's about to get beat." But as you could see, as the fight went on, you know, he started landing the harder shots. He was, you know, pop-shotting them in and out, and he was rocking them every time he caught him with that uppercut. Every time he caught him with that counter, you know, he was rocking his head back. And ultimately, you know, Professor, you know, like he tweeted out, "Hey, class dismissed, early dismissal." He got the 9th round TKO, and he showed that excitement after the fight. I was happy for him, man. I was proud of him. Way to go. And from here, after that, he called out the champs, man. He says he wouldn't mind fighting Guy Estrada. I'm not sure if he's ready for that, but, hey, if that's what he wants, you know, he can get it. Hey, man, good luck to you, baby. You know, that's why you fight, and we tune in and we ride for you, man. So, you know, congratulations to him on a big win. Congratulations to the San Antonio guys. They shine. Speaking of shining, Travell Maison, Black Magic, original true right there, got the 1st round TKO over Fernando Castaneda. Got the body shot KO that Julio Cesar Chavez himself was proud of. He was ringside. He was working for Azteca, and he was getting burned. But he was proud of that shot. He said, "Yup, that's." He gave that head nod like, yup, I co-signed that one. That was a good shot. Fernando Castaneda, man, tried to get up but couldn't. Travell Maison, who's now living in Arkansas, but representing Austin, Texas, got the big win, remains undefeated. It's crazy to think that kid, he's seen fight at 126 now, a legitimate 154-pounder. And shit, he said he wants Jaime Munguia. That's a fight I wouldn't mind seeing, and that's a fight I would definitely give Maison a good shot. Another Texan to look out for, Tristan Calcro, got the 1st round KO, impressive, over the Louisiana native, Blake LeClef. Highlight reel KO, you know, dropped him early in the round. He got up only to get knocked the fuck out, man, but you know, props to him, props to both warriors, but Tristan is definitely a fighter to watch out for. Keep your eyes out for him, man. He looks the part, you know, big size, big dude at 175 pounds, undefeated, you know, being moved by Lester, you know, doing his thing. Lester Bedford, who you know, is a guy in Texas boxing in and out, helps these promoters and now is managing a few fighters. And Tristan Calcruz, who comes from the same high school as Virgil Ortiz, man, fighter to watch out for. George Rincon, another local kid, got the 1st round TKO, had a seizure after the fight. He's now saying it wasn't no seizure. I'm not sure, man. It's kind of iffy. You know, I'm going to let him and his team figure that out. But I know what I saw. I know what a lot of people ringside saw. He's swearing that he was praying and he had a short of breath and he passed out. A lot of people ringside thought it was a seizure. So, you know, hopefully it wasn't that, because I don't know if, you know, if he had seizures, just fighting is the best thing you want to go into, man. And that's just my opinion, and I'll say that now, and I'll say that to him and anybody else. The last one I want to touch on from that night was Hector Valdez. Again, I remember watching him coming up on the undercard. I always said he was going to be the next big thing from Dallas. He's going to follow in the footsteps of Maurice Mighty Mo Hooker, who's the former WBO champion, 140 pounds. Errol Spence, who's the WBC and IBF, 147 pounds. And Virgil Ortiz, who's the future champion. The next guy from the DFW to look out for is Hester Valdez, El Travieso, who got the 3rd round KO over Luis Rios. Kid is the real deal. Now working with Robert Garcia at the RGBA. Says that his mentor, Virgil Ortiz Sr., was the one who got him out there. So Hector Valdez, name to watch out for. And again, congrats to Joshua Frankel, Hector Tanahara, and Black Maison, Travell, Black Magic, Travell Maison, Jaime Munguia. Moving on to the show from Atlantic City. Joe Smith got the split decision win. Should have been a unanimous decision win, but nonetheless, the right guy won. Dropped Jesse Hart. Controlled the fight, and with the win, Joe Smith, man, from local Union 11, representing New York, I think Long Island, gets the win and is back in the top 10. Definitely in line for a title shot, definitely in line for a big fight, money fight. Congrats to Joe Smith, local Union 11, and star boxing, Joe DeGuardia. Joe Smith just came out busy, just came out hungry. Jesse Hart, after the fight, said he was hurt, you know, he had a hurt hand, or you know, he didn't want to make no excuses, but Joe Smith got the win. Congrats to him. Also, congrats to Steve So Cold Nelson. Got the TKO over Sim Kellick, who was down at the time of the fight at stoppage. 70-63 on all three judges' scorecards. Didn't come out for the court. Didn't come out. So Steve Sokol Nelson, who moved down from 175 pounds to 168, looked good. And man, Coach Bomack and Coach Red, everything they touch, B&B Boxing, is winning right now. Congrats to them. Congrats to Steve Nelson. I think he's in line for a possible title shot. I think he can get a big fight too. You know, Top Rank has a lot of guys at 168, a lot of guys. So definitely some fights to be made there for him. I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive, a little bit one-sided. You know, Steve Sokol Nelson just kind of dominated against Sim Kellick. Is one of those guys I seen come up from the ground up. And I thought that was going to be his moment to shine. And, you know, he came up short. But that's what happens sometimes in the sport of boxing, man. You can't win them all. On the undercard, you had Alexander Zayas get the unanimous decision win. He improves to 3-0. Definitely a name to watch out for. And those were the three big cards. The Atlantic City was a busy weekend with Clarissa Shields and Jerome Booth Dennis. And then you had Joe Smith and Jesse Hart go to war. Joe Smith getting the win. Then obviously we had the Jaime Munguia. Those were the three big cards. As we talked about at the top of the news, Jesse Vargas versus Mikey Garcia tickets go on sale. $25 will get you in the building. You can get those at SeatGeek. There's talks about Maurice Hooker taking on Regis Prograis later this summer or in the spring. There's talks about that. Rock Nation and Matchroom, who moved Maurice Hooker, have been in talks with Regis Prograis and Lou DiBella. Both guys coming off losses, who, you know, they both lost their titles. I think that would be a good fight. You know, winner of that fight could fight, you know, fight the champ again, whether it be Josh Taylor or Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez getting ready for Victor Postol. Going to be fighting out there in China. You watch that fight on ESPN. Speaking of Josh Taylor signs with Top Rank. His deal with Cyclone is up, which says he reneged it. There's in talks with Josh Taylor making his IBF mandatory against Abinum Song. I can't pronounce that name. Fuck me. Josh Taylor, you know, they're going to make that mandatory. With Josh Taylor getting 65% of the cut and Kong Song getting 35%. It's going to be kind of tricky because Samson Lukowicz had a little issue with Top Rank with the whole David Benavidez thing. Says, you know, they're dropping out of the bidding, you know, now that Top Rank is involved. So not sure how that's going to play out. So we'll see. And the big one was, again, the Wilder Fury 2 press conference. That went down yesterday. Both guys had a lot to say. This is a fight that's going to happen February 22nd. I'm excited about it. A couple of the punchlines was, what did Wilder say? February 22nd, that lineal bullshit ends. You know, he says all that lineal, you boost yourself up. It's calling you a lineal champ. You ain't a lineal champ for shit. He's like, that bullshit ends. That lineal bullshit ends. You know, and then he called him out saying that he changed his trainer like he changed draws. And then you had Fury saying, fuck me, this guy talks 7 minutes to make a point. I don't need no excuse, you know, because at one point Wilder said that he had broke his arm or he had hurt his arm and that he didn't spar and that he was going to wait till the fight because he didn't want to hurt his arm in sparring. That he would, if he broke his arm, he wanted to do it in a fight when he was getting paid. Fury said, I didn't need to hear that shit. I'm 100% confident I'm going to get the win. And both guys are confidence, man. They're big guys. And, you know, heavyweight division rules the sport of boxing. That's what it is about. You know, big thing is that Fox and ESPN, Top Rank, and PBC are joining forces. I hope that leads the way for bigger fights and more fights, I should say. Because, you know, this is pretty big. So, I don't know. I think the only thing bigger would be Spence and Crawford, but nothing's bigger than the heavyweight. So we'll see, man. I just want to see a bit more fights come to fruition. I think this is a great first step, but we've been down this road before. I hope this one's plugs away. You know, Fox, ESPN, you know, they're going to join forces to put on the pay-per-view. The fights for this weekend, you got Julian J. Rock Williams defending his IBF WBA 154-pound title against Jason Rosario from Philly. Julian Williams, you know, says he's happy to be number one at 154 pounds. There's no question he's the number one guy at 154 pounds, but that's not his goal. His ultimate goal is to be the champion and number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I think he's got a way to go there. But shit, who are we to judge? You know, he already proved a lot of people wrong when he got knocked the fuck out by Charlo and came back and beat, you know, Hurd, who no one gave him a chance, you know. And now Hurd is going to be taking on TSN 3, Jay Williams. Like, now I'm rocking with these 154-pounders. We're gonna take these tests and we're going to fight it out. And that's going down this Saturday on Fox, so tune in for that one. And then you also got from Verona, New York, you got the former WBO champion, Aleider Storm Alvarez, taking on Michael Seals. On the co-main event, you got Felix Verdejo, El Diamante, taking on local fighter Manuel Ray Rojas. That's going on ESPN+. Those are the two big fights from this weekend, and there's a lot of other fights happening. You got the Sloan Iowa Showtime show. You got Adrian Estrella against Shohan Igris. You got J. Rico Quinn versus Oscar Vasquez. You got Shishkin versus Sierra. You got Maureen Cie. She's fighting out in Florida, former champion. I think those are the two big fights. The ones in Philly with J. Rock. You got Joey Spencer on their card. Chris Colbert versus Jezreel Corrales, former champion. And then Christopher Diaz is on the card from Verona, New York. Close to the Boxing Hall of Fame, so that's going down. And then we look forward to the fights next week, man. Just wanted to come back to Talk Radio episode 138, kind of just touch on a little bit. Looking forward to the Wilder Fury. Looking forward to the fights coming on. Keep going, right? I mentioned Jared Hurd versus Chan Santana, Danny Garcia versus Ivan Redcat. You know, a lot of more fights are going to be happening here down the line. You got the Super Bowl brawl. Tevin Farmer versus Joseph Diaz. You got Danny Roman making his comeback. A lot of fights are going to be coming down the pipeline, man. Looking forward to the next few weeks. Just wanted to come back with it, man. True Talk Radio, episode 138. Shout out to Carlos OG. Shout out to Lou. Shout out to Art. Shout out to Junior down in San Antonio, man. Shout out to San Antonio as a whole. Shout out to everybody out there, man. I always got love for San Antonio like I got love for L.A. In Chicago. I think you guys are on my top three. But it don't stop and it won't stop. True Talk Radio, episode 138. Y'all make sure y'all follow us at True Boxing Heads. That's T-R-U, Boxing Heads with a Z. True Boxing Heads or True Boxing Heads with a Z. It's all the same names. The game ain't changed. That's my damn Apple Watch over here trying to do an Apple read. Powered by Gruff Nissan, man. Y'all make sure to check me out. Anybody in the market for a car, I can help you through credit, bad credit. That's what pays the bills. Until boxing pays the bills, we still got to work. We still got to plug away, man. It don't stop. It won't stop. Shout out to Valley. Shout out to all the homies, man. I can't think of some right now off the top of my head. But, again, shout out to everybody who tunes in for the show. Watching these Dallas Mavericks beat up on the Sacramento Kings. 112-99. Congratulations to LSU winning the national title over Clemson on Monday. Looking forward to the Final Four this weekend. You got Green Bay versus the 49ers, and you got the Chiefs versus the Titans, winner of that for the Super Bowl. And may come back next week or may come back the following week, depending on when we set it up out there at Acapulco. But definitely wanted to get it in, man. True Talk Radio, episode 138. Can't stop, won't stop. Y'all already know what it is, man. I'm going to let y'all ride out with that old school Wolski. Y'all know how we do. Todo encartado. Bang, bang.
Ese que trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo manada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio seré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes porque mucha gente se muere sin culpa. Bien dicen que en el negocio siempre son los socios que te traiciona. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca es talona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora.